all kinds of things and asking the question, can God please turn off the injuries?
Yeah, we have plagues 1 through 3 already.
Danny, how are you this week?
I'm currently on the pup list.
I'm about to put myself there too.
I have fantasy draft remorse. I've lost one of my players for the season already.
I think there's a lot of people that can say that. I was thinking, do you remember back years ago and like you'd play a lot of Madden or in 2K, like ESPN 2K, and you could turn injury settings off?
Yeah.
I want to do that.
Yeah, we're just like somebody get these people some goji berries. Come on.
They need something.
Dragon balls.
Something. Well, why don't we talk about some of those fun injuries that are besetting the NFL? Because we got some that are out for a little bit, some that are out for a stretch, and a couple that are big that are going to impact the landscape of the NFFL. We got Jalen Pitre out with a bruised lung. Actually spent the night in the hospital, apparently. Pat Fryer.
Now, that's serious. That's serious business. Like that somebody had to like punch through his rib cage to get to his lung.
I know. That was the report. Pat Fryermuth, the Muth, got loose, but also took a very brutal hit to the chest. Very clean, but very brutal. And looking at possible rib injury there. We got a lot of hamstring injuries. Deontay Johnson, J.C. Horn, Aaron Jones, Greg Dulcich, all of varying degrees. Deontay's going to be out for a few weeks. Aaron Jones, last I heard, day-to-day. Dulcich is going to be a couple of weeks. Apparently, just hamstring is just so common an injury. But it still seems like every year there's a few guys that just either forget how to stretch it out or just get bit.
Well, in the early 90s, that's the only injury there was. It was, you know, a Thurman Thomas hamstring injury. That was it.
So you're saying these guys are just nostalgic?
There is nothing. There were no torn ACLs back then. It was all hamstrings.
Hamstrings and broken femurs. Like Jeff Eisman.
It was all large muscle group, soft tissue injuries.
We got N'Kobe Dean with a foot. Marcus Williams with a pectoral. Austin Eckler showed up with an ankle injury yesterday, Monday.
Should we call him Austin Ankler?
We should. If we mention him again, we should refer to him as Austin Ankler. Casting some doubt on his availability. Apparently, it's that bad. Kenny Gainwell, rib injury.
You can call him Kenny Getwell.
Yes, we're going to call him Kenny Getwell. Rib injury that apparently don't look for him to play Thursday night after getting the bulk of the carries on Sunday. So Jizza, watch for that one. I believe Jizza has him. So he has now, all the Jizza Eagles now, backfield.
Is Jizza now down to 22%?
I'd have to do the math, but quite possibly.
How many percent did he lose here?
We'll have to do the math. We'll look at his roster in a little bit. We'll do the math. So we also got some guys that are going to really be out for a stretch. Cam Hayward with his groin injury. Props to him. He came back in for a play, but I don't know why. He was already done. And Jacoby Myers with a brutal hit. Concussion protocol. I don't think he's going to be back in for a couple of weeks. It's kind of bad. Yeah, kind of bad too, because he was on a career day at that point. I think Jimmy G found his new favorite target. And of course,
he concussed.
Oh yeah. And of course, we've got a couple of guys that are done for the season. potentially done for the career for both of them. J.K. Dobbins, torn Achilles out for the season, and this is just one more catastrophic injury for those legs for him. And this is the last year of his contract, so, I mean...
Oh, dude. I mean, he might as well start writing Harry Potter books.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's all he has left in front of him.
Mm-hmm. And he was finally looking good, too. And, of course, we've got Aaron Rodgers in a New York minute, four snaps into his career in New York. Torn Achilles, out for the season, and with as old as he is, do you think he comes back?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say that he was the Jets' Achilles heel.
You could, but that's, that's definitely a dad joke.
That was because yeah. there was a Clifford sighting.
There was, apparently. Yes.
I had somebody... Somebody went to the Republican convention and saw Cliff.
So those are the big injuries I saw pop up this week. The ones that seemed that they'd have the biggest impact on Nellis here. So we, yeah, those are the ones that we talk about today. Oh, we got someone bombing into our call today.
What's that?
We got like a Zoom bomber here. He's giving me a weird look here too. Nipple. Oh, NFFL listeners, we got Connor.
What is up, Nellis?
Oh, there he is.
We had Connor's nipple for a moment.
He hacked into the Zoom call.
Yes, we have Ben's ass man on the call tonight.
I am his consultant. I am no one's ass man.
My apologies, his consigliere.
There we go. There we go.
So gridiron mafia, but not quite.
The Swifties have been taking the shotgun approach to trades today. Are you spearheading that effort?
It's collaborative. I've been trying to help him not sell everyone, but have more of a strategic approach. As in, like, you know, past years where he was just like, I'm going to give everyone away this year. You know, he has more of a strategy, you know, and we've been working mm-hmm. together on that. So,
well, but you, a lot of it's him. You joined us just in time.
Why? What are you guys talking about?
Our next segment's called Week One Overreactions.
Yeah, let's get into it.
If Ben is already fire sailing, then this is perfect.
There's no fire sailing happening with Swifties. Taylor's version is not, or Satan's version is not fire sailing. He is looking to improve his team. He's looking to make a run.
Now, with you guys being the Swifties, maybe you guys can clear something up. I did just see a report this afternoon. Apparently, she and Travis Kelce are low-key hanging out.
Yeah, I can confirm that is official.
Okay.
And so the owner of Travis Kelce,
if you'd like to
listen, I am the assistant general manager of Swifties. I know these things. And if the owner of Travis Kelce would like to send him to Swifties so that the two can get, you know, have a long-term relationship, that's okay.
Better acquainted.
He's got to do something in that downtime.
Right?
Yeah, really. So, I picked a few of the big stories that tend to be overreacted on this week in week one. So let's get you guys' opinion. First up, with all of the hullabaloo around Baltimore and their new, we're going to pass a lot more and not run as much this year. Week one did not seem to come to fruition, so here's the overreaction. Lamar Jackson is mid.
Oh, is he ever?
I'm going to say that is an overreaction. I mean, how many quarterbacks had down weeks this week? Come on. I mean, the top six quarterbacks all had down weeks. So let's not put too much on that. I think there's a lot of season left.
I'm totally overreacting right now.
You are absolutely are overreacting.
I think Lamar Jackson is not just mid. He's meh.
So you're going way the other way.
Wow. He's meh.
Okay.
But you know what's funny? I mean, he kind of got forced to having to throw because J.K. Rowling's got knocked out for the season. So,
And also, don't forget, he didn't have Andrews. You know, his number one wide receiver is a rookie. It was his first game. Like, their offense is going to be fine. Lamar is going to be clicking. I'm not worried about him at all. I'm worried about him as a Steeler fan, but I'm not worried about him as far as fantasy out. But so that's where I'm at.
I'm sticking with meh.
All right.
Number two, Tyreek Hill is going to go over 2,000 yards this year.
Oh, that's totally happening.
I would love to see that happen as a consultant of the team that has him. But I mean, when was the last one guy to do that? Was that Calvin Johnson?
Yeah, it was Megatron.
Yeah, the only way that's happening is if Tua can stay healthy all season. But, you know, 17-game season, it could happen. Mm-hmm. But we need Tua to be healthy for it to happen.
Now, that's the bigger question.
He's on pace for like 3,200, so we'll see.
He's due for 3,200-yard season. Let's see it happen.
One game in where it was the Chargers' defense and where they only single-man covered him the whole time.
Hey, man, I told you that was going to be a shootout and it was going to be a bloodbath. So,
yeah.
Let's see Madden. You know, easy settings for Miami all season long and see what happens. I love it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Connor, Danny and I went head to head in another league this week. And the only reason Danny won is because he had Tyreek.
Oh, my God.
He won by 4 points.
Oh, man, that's a tough loss.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I was 8-1 this week overall.
Wow. And that one loss. So
maybe my overreaction is that I'm going to have a better year than what I should.
Maybe. I saw online today someone posted their screenshot of their scores. They lost by 0.6, and they had Aaron Rodgers. And if he would have won completion, he would have won the game.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine?
That hurts.
In that same league, somebody lost by 0.02.
With the same situation?
I don't know if it was Aaron Rodgers, but it was 0.02 difference between the two.
Mm. Man, wild.
Overreaction number three. The Titans need to make a change at quarterback.
I don't even know who they have at this point.
Well, they got Ryan Tannehill as their starter. And then,
I think the ship has sailed on him, though.
Their backup is their rookie from last year,
Malik Willis.
Yeah. So
I mean,
and then the Kentucky kid, right?
Yeah, Levis, the guy who what's his issue with bananas? I forget. He's got an issue with bananas for some reason.
He got hives.
I think he eats them with the peel on is what the issue is.
Shut up. That's a lie.
No.
I feel like you're playing too much draft day.
No.
You're getting way too deep.
He filmed himself eating a banana with a peel on.
That was a dare, I'm sure.
He was a college kid, but yeah.
That doesn't sound appealing at all.
Yeah, so do the Titans need to stick with Tannehill or do they go with last year's rookie or this year's rookie? What's the overreaction there?
I think they should put him in a blender and see what happens.
I think they will make a they'll make a move before the season's over. I think Will Levis is going to get his chance. I think Malik Willis is going to get his chance. I think they're, but I mean, how do you draft Willis in the third and then the following year draft Levis in the second? I mean, clearly you're like throwing darts, trying to get something to stick. Tannehill's not going to finish. I don't think he's going to. When's their bye? Hey, do you know?
Not off the top of my head.
I want to say it's later.
Okay. It's week 7. He won't be starting past week 7. If he makes it to the bye week, he's stopping at the bye.
Yeah. They'll have Atlanta after the bye, so it'd probably be an ideal week for them to take 2 weeks to work him in.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the Steelers had that same option, but they didn't screw that up at all.
All right. Sell your Jets. Does there need to be a fire sale for fantasy owners of Jets players on offense now that Aaron Rodgers is done?
Overreaction.
No way.
What are you saying? Sell them all? Danny, you and I are opposite on this game. Man, I love it.
Dalvin Cook's going to be screaming for a trade.
Dalvin Cook, he's not going to get anything. Come on. First off, Breece Hall was amazing last year while he was healthy. Garrett Wilson was rookie of the year, 1,000-yard receiver. And that was all with the, you know, Flacco / Wilson at quarterback. These guys are going to be fine. Yeah, you can bump them down slightly from, you know, losing Rodgers, but these guys are still going to put up massive numbers. I'm not worried about them at all.
Cool your Jets. Cool them off. I'm still selling everybody.
Good. Sell them to me.
I'm
Do you have any Jets, Danny?
I'm taking the Swifties Army's approach and selling everything.
If it's not bolted down, get rid of it.
We're flipping our entire roster every week. We want to see how many trades we can make before the end of the trade deadline.
This is going to be setting a record. There's a new trophy in it for you.
You guys are going to be the first ones to like get near the transaction threshold.
Oh, what is the threshold? I know I've reached 100+ before, but what is there? There's no cap. I'll keep going.
I don't remember setting a cap, so.
There's no.
All right, last one. The Lions are Super Bowl contenders.
I mean, how can you say they're not? I don't think they're the front runner. I think Dallas and the Niners are the favorites right now to leave the NFC. But how can you say Detroit, you know, on any given Sunday can't beat one of those two teams and make it, you know?
I'm saying Detroit's going to the playoffs. I'll say that. And they very well could win the North.
I think they should win the North.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Packers are butt cheeks, and so is Chicago. Minnesota got edged. Yeah, Lions going all the way through Super Bowl.
That's an overreaction.
Danny's punching the ticket.
They're going to Vegas.
They can, but they probably won't.
All right. So let's talk trades then.
All right, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think our league is lacking something. A giant. As you can all see, all of our teams suck. Some of the lineups aren't even legal. I would like to propose to you what I call the 8-way trade.
We got a couple of trades to bring up here, both of them involving the Swifties. Yeah. So we had two trades that went through between the end of games Monday and this recording session. So let's put them out here, let you guys discuss them. Well, I'll throw in my 2 cents too. And I have the feeling that, Bizzle, you'll be a little bit biased, but oh well. So the first one, the 25%ers, they receive Mike Williams, Dallas Goedert, David Montgomery, and Kareem Hunt. And the Swifties, in exchange, received Dalton Kincaid, Debo Samuel, and Isaiah Pacheco. So
now, real quick, is Dallas Goedert an Eagle?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so he, whatever percent he lost that we were trying to calculate earlier, he got it back. So he's still 25%.
I missed that. I wasn't on Zoom yet at that time.
Oh, yes. We were discussing whether or not he had Kenny Gainwell, since he's probably out this week with a rib injury.
So the 25%ers, is that like, what does that mean? Do we know like what, why he named his team that?
Yeah, it's because we were mocking him for having a roster composed of 25% Eagles players last week.
Oh, that's hilarious. And so he clearly, he listened to the podcast.
Yes.
Love it.
So yeah, thoughts on the trade?
I think, oh shit, Swifties got the better deal.
You know, as an insider, as a consultant on the Swifties, I know there was a lot of back and forth between both teams on that trade. I think both teams got what they wanted. So I can't say one team won. I think they both ended the trade satisfied, because I know that both teams, there was a lot of, there was probably six offers back and forth. What day was that trade made? Yesterday? 2 days ago?
Yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, there was a lot of back and forth that day.
Yeah. And I mean, it's beneficial both ways. I mean, one of the big issues I had with the 25%ers roster was just all of the investment in Philadelphia's backfield. Mm-hmm. And with being able to put David Montgomery in there and potentially having Kareem Hunt sign with one of these teams that's going to lose a running back to another injury in the next week or so here.
How much you want to bet that Kareem Hunt goes to Baltimore?
That's pretty good bet there. But, I mean, Jizz is bringing on one, potentially two solid starters there that's going to contribute very, very well to his backfield. So if nothing else, there you go. And, I mean, Mike Williams, very good number two wide receiver for San Diego. So, I mean, it looks good both sides to me. So, I mean.
No, I agree. I think, I mean, you know, Jizz is right now in last place. You know, he needed to do a shakeup, get some pieces in there that can help his starting lineup. And yeah, he lost some starters, but I think he got deeper. And like you said, like if Montgomery can keep putting those numbers up, and if Hunt signs somewhere, if Goddard, you know, Philadelphia's weather was horrible. You know, he's going to do better than what he did this week. And Williams, if he can stay healthy, I mean, I think he, you know, got a good return on that trade. But, you know, and then Swifties got Debo. They got a high-end young running back in Pacheco and a high-end young Kincaid. I mean, there's pros on both sides. Mm-hmm. I like the trade for both teams.
Yeah. So let's look at Swifties' other trade they worked so far this week. It was San Diego 8. We don't get to see many trades with San Diego 8 happening.
That trade was brought to you by ChatGPT.
So San Diego 8 gets Aaron Jones and Devondre Campbell, a couple of Packers there, and Swifties gets to pull in Tony Pollard. What do you guys think?
I would say at this point you're looking at an even swap on running back, in my opinion. The Devondre Campbell, that must have, you know, he must have valued Pollard a little bit more high than Jones if he was going to throw two people at him. But I mean, I would rather have Tony Pollard over Aaron Jones. So once again, thumbs up to Satan.
Swifties, man.
Hey, it's in your name.
I'm just reading the cue cards in front of me.
I mean, I think, you know, Jones put up monster numbers. I'm, you know, if, again, if he can stay healthy, he'll be putting up numbers with, you know, I, it looks like Love's going to rely on him a lot. So we'll see. But I'm like you, Danny. I like Pollard a lot. I'm pretty high on him. So Campbell, as long as he, you know, is starting playing every down, I think he'll be fine. I mean, it could be a trade that helps both teams. I don't think it hurts either one of them. Again, another nice trade for both teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think as long as Aaron stays healthy, it's a pretty lateral move at running back in my purview. It's, I mean, they're both pretty similar. So, I mean, kind of a six in one hand, half dozen the other for me. But there you go.
Yeah, cool.
As long as Aaron doesn't have a bad hamstring, but he was smiling pretty big at the Sky Cam on the sidelines during that Chicago game after he hurt himself. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's as bad as some of the other ones we saw this week.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he didn't leave the field. He was getting stretched out there.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we all need a good stretch.
Yeah. So let's look, let's take some film room study and look back at week one's games. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Roll that beautiful bean footage.
All right. So we'll start off with Awful Waffles taking on the 25%ers. I think it was pretty unanimous last week that we all picked Awful Waffles to win. I know I did. Finished up at 136.44 to 121.18. That was a 15.25-point margin of victory for Awful Waffles. And the matchup MVP was definitely DeForest Buckner with his... I didn't realize it till well after the game, but apparently rookie Tank Bigsby picked up a ball that was still live, thought the play was over, had it slapped out of his hand, and then DeForest picked it up and ran it in for the touchdown.
So people are probably saying, run, DeForest, run.
Probably. So just some observations, some studs for the matchup for me. Christian McCaffrey, very studly work for Awful Waffles. We all, pretty much all of us, saw that. Captain Kirk Cousins looked pretty good in his return to week one.
Yes. You like that.
We liked that, yeah. On the dud side, T. Higgins. I am not sad to say, at least this week, that I traded him away with his goose egg.
You better hit that goose button.
Oh, I will be when I, yeah. He had like 8 targets, and only 2 of them technically were even catchable. And DeAndre Swift did not look great. He had 3 whole rushing yards in the game.
That threw me off pretty bad.
Yeah, I guess he's still learning the playbook in Philly. And
he's probably starting this week.
Yeah, I'm thinking they're probably going to be plugging him in a lot on Thursday with Gainwell's injury. And honestly, Awful Waffles had the number 10 offense, and the 25%ers had the number 11 offense, and the 25%ers had the number 12 defense. So this game fell very, very short of what we were thinking, at least on Awful Waffle's side. Mm-hmm. What do y'all think?
That sounds like some toilet bowl action right there.
Yeah, this was almost the toilet bowl game of the week. We'll get to the actual toilet bowl game of the week.
There was one that was worse. Oh, man.
Did you guys see that video I posted today on the Ring? That league that has, if you have a player on your starting lineup that gets 0 points, you have to record yourself chugging like a Smirnoff and post
it. I haven't watched it yet, but I've been pretty busy all afternoon, so I'll watch it when we're done recording.
We should do that with eggnog.
Oh. Something. No, eggnog is disgusting, but I would love
goose eggs, man. Eggnog, come on.
Goose eggs, you gotta chug some kind of drink and post it on the ring. So I think, I feel like Ty needs to chug a Smirnoff and post it.
I like that idea.
How about it has to be the amount of ounces that their projected points were?
I don't know. That's crazy. If you have a quarterback.
You got a quarterback. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Rodgers. Right, come on. That's not.
You gotta do a whole mason jar if that's the case.
Any thoughts specific to this matchup, guys?
My only thought, of course, Ty won with 130 points. Like, you know. I hope he does that this week when he takes on Swifties, but he probably won't. He'll probably 125 points. We'll see.
This is a damn bye week score right here.
There's a lot of bye week scores this week. It was a weird week, guys.
It was an off week.
Yeah.
It was an awful, awful week.
Yeah, I saw somewhere this week that there's a significant drop in touchdowns this year compared to week one last year, so... Yeah, just wild. Scoring as a whole was down this week compared to last year. Yeah. Well,
it's all part of the script.
Yeah, it's all part of the script. Those are fun commercials to watch, I will say. Matchup number two, Night Shift taking on Gridiron Mafia. It was unanimous that Gridiron Mafia was going to win. None of us were surprised. 191.02 to 163.52, 27.5 point margin of victory for Gridiron Mafia. Before the afternoon games ended, there actually was a shred of hope on my end. And then the afternoon game started. Christian McCaffrey... Wait, why did I put Christian McCaffrey as the...
You swapped him.
I swapped him. Oh, well. Yeah. On the good hand, on the solid hand, yeah, Christian McCaffrey should have been the MVP for the last game to force Buckner's this one.
Yeah.
Mike Evans, stud for this week. DeForest Buckner, of course. Both of those guys looking very studly this week. Duds, Tyler Lockett, a little bit of a scare with a concussion worry there. But Geno really, the entire Seahawks offense did like nothing the second half. And I guess Geno really was scared of Aaron Donald, so that was kind of fun to watch. And
oh, God. Yes.
And Christian Kirk, huge disappointment. What are you guys' thoughts on this matchup?
Those are both wide receivers that you would normally kind of hang your hat on. So It blows that they didn't do well.
Yeah, I mean, Lockett was having good targets until he left with that injury. I mean, he came back, but by that point, the offense was just not doing anything.
Joe's team was really balanced. I mean, he's poised for another, you know, Phyllis run potentially. So We'll see if he can maintain this. But I think, I mean, I was expecting less from his running backs. Jacksonville, I mean, Kirk, they got a lot of, I mean, they just added Calvin Ridley. You know, he's the number one target now. I did expect Kirk to be number two, but, you know, I think overall, minus Kirk, that team did exactly what I expected to do. Good job, Joe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, you know what? I didn't expect to win, and I was only like 2 points shy of what I was projected. So my team as a whole did what I was expecting it to do. So I wasn't expecting anything less or anything more. I knew what it was this week. All right, matchup number three, Bear Bunda's Nightmare taking on San Diego 8. We all had San Diego 8 bringing the pain, but we were all surprised. 175.42 to 198.82, 23.4 point margin of victory for Bear Bunda's Nightmare. Matchup MVP Zaire Franklin. Now, just as a fun note, Bear Bunda had the number three offense this week. San Diego 8 had the number two offense this week. And Bear Bunda had the number four defense this week. and San Diego 8 had the number 10 defense this week. Your guys' offenses were separated by less than a point, 129.02 to 130.62. Defense was the difference in this matchup, 69.8 to 44.8. So, studs in this one. Stephon Diggs finally got over that New York Jets hump that I alluded to last week. I looked at all of their previous matchups since he'd been with the Bills, and those were some of his worst games. 10 for 101 and a tutty. Tyler Allgeier, still in the mix, at least for right now. 75 rush yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 3 receptions for 19 yards. Zaire Franklin, mentioned him as the MVP. 10 tackles, 8 assists, and a forced fumble. Brandon Ayuk, 8 for 129 and 2 scores. On the dud side, I'm putting Josh Allen there. 3 interceptions to the same guy and only 1 touchdown. And Chris Godwin, 5 for 50. That was all he did on the day. Any thoughts there?
I got out of there with my balls in my hand. I had to run.
Speaking of balls in your hand, how big were your balls starting Allgeier, or however you say his name, and Pittman? My goodness, both of them single-digit projections scoring over 20 points each. Well, good call on those guys, man. I wouldn't have started them. Like, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those were solid calls.
Yeah, well, I mean, I did not think they were going to just all of a sudden leave that dude in the dust because he did so well last year.
Yeah. But it was the defense. I mean, Rob's offense looks awesome. I mean, I know he made that trade that hopefully Campbell can help boost that defense a little bit, but he needs to do a little bit more work on that D. If you want to consult Rob, give me a call. I can help you out.
All right. Moving on to our next matchup. E-Town Asian took on Sweatman's Runners. I had Sweatman's winning. I was wrong. 203.22 to 171.40. That's a 31.82 point smackdown for E-Town. Previously, the 0-2 on opening day, E-Town Asian. Matchup MVP, Tua Tagovailoa. Also joining Tua in the studly man list, Roquan Smith with his lovely day at the office. Austin Ankler putting in there a good day of work. Yeah, I remembered. And Travis Etienne keeping that strong hold on the number one running back in Jacksonville. Dud-wise, DJ Moore not quite ready, or, you know, still more of the same for him in Chicago. And David Njoku, I guess not all tight ends are friendly for Massage Watson.
I'm telling you, the mistake by the Malik, ain't nothing good happening up there.
What else do you guys think about E-Town and Sweaty?
E-Town is a tough team. His offense is going to be
scary.
Really scary all year long.
Yeah, I'm going to get the meat sweats. Like,
right? You know, I mean, Gibbs, Waller, and Moore didn't do much, but you don't, I mean, how much do you need when you have Bijan and Waddle and Olave and Justin Jefferson and Tua running on all cylinders? I mean, that was really good. Mm-hmm. And then that defense looked solid. I mean, he outside of Smith and Edwards, the other guys had single digits, but they were at, you know, 7-9. Like, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah, E-Town was top three defense.
Yeah. Sweatman, I mean, like, you know, he didn't have a bad week, 171. You know, as the defending champ, you gotta put up those numbers, man. And it sucked with that injury with Deontay. Dotson didn't live up to those numbers. Lamb didn't have any opportunities because they were already up like 37-0 before he even got a target. It's craziness. But again, it comes to that defense. We talked about that in the last matchup. And Swatman, you need to work on that D. That D really hurt you this week.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Shore up those. Defensive-wise, sweaty, not so bad. Number eight, but, I mean, you're a little below the middle of the pack there even. And you're nowhere near the number one defense this week. Not really even near the top three or four even. So, but, yeah. Now, Danny, the next one's our toilet bowl game of the week.
Oh, I can see why.
Jim Kelly Hates Cancer taking on Roster Guard 99. We all picked Jim Kelly Hates Cancer because of the history. We all were wrong. 136-56 to 161-94. 25-point, 38-point margin of victory for Roster Guard 99. One of the smelliest victories of the week. Studs. I really had to look. Calvin Ridley and his 8 for 101 and a touchdown. That was a bright spot. Calvin looked good in his first game back. TJ Watt, a man among boys and pretty much the only bright spot in Pittsburgh this past week. Also the matchup MVP. The duds. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer's defense. Was the number 11 defense. They had less than 42 points combined on defense. I counted at one point. I think their entire defense combined for 8 total tackles. Roster Guard 99's offense was number 12.
Flag football.
Yeah. Roster Guard 99's offense was number 12 on the week with less than 58 points, 57.34. Yeah. 7 defenses this week scored more points than Roster Guard 99's offense.
What was Roster Guard's defense rank? Because that looks stacked.
Roster Guard's defense was actually the top defense of the week. They were number one with 104.60. That's the only reason this matchup was as competitive as it was.
Wow.
Drake, I see London, I see France. Drake has pooped his underpants, London.
You better call me on your cell phone.
He's a dud. And Joe Burrow, this is what happens when you don't play the preseason and you don't really do much at camp because you're injured. Every single defensive player on his team, on this team, outscored him individually.
That's crazy. Even
kicker Jason Myers on this team nearly outscored quarterback Joe Burrow. So this is why this is the toilet bowl game of the week.
It doesn't matter where your production comes from, and this game shows it. Good job, John. I don't care if you get 34 points, 37 points from your quarterback or your linebacker. You got 37 points.
A win's a win. An ugly win is still a win. Yes, I will. You get no argument from me. A toilet bowl win is still a win.
And I was really high on London before the season. 0 points. Man, that stinks.
Yeah. He had one target.
Yeah, we talked about this in the overreactions. When are we going to see the Tennessee quarterback change? What's going on in Atlanta with that quarterback situation? Who's their quarterback?
It's Desmond Ridder. Ridder. And Arthur Smith just wants to play football like it's 1947. He just wants to run, run, and run. And something like 58% of all the passing targets went to Bijan and Algier anyway.
That's not sustainable.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, long term.
My high school team did that, where it was run, 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 run. Oh, it's 3rd and 73. Run up the middle. It's like Atlanta Falcons football. Come on, Falcons. Don't play high school ball.
They might as well be running the triple option wishbone.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like Marshall, and we are Marshall. Come on, guys. You actually have a team. Let's play.
You tell them, Coach Bizzle. I'm going to start calling you Coach Prime.
Prime time. I'll tell you what, though. I mean, Chuck has the bones. I mean, his wide receivers are stacked. His running backs. I mean, Walker's going to get his. I don't know what he's doing at tight end. He always, for some reason, Chuck always finds a way to put Hill in the lineup.
He does. We've all got every owner in this league has that one or two players we always manage to find and throw in, and Taysom is Chuck's.
Yeah. So weird. It's so weird. But Chuck, you know, historically has been like the defensive guru. Weird start to the season, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, like a lot of matchups were decided by defense, and that's what this one was as well.
Yep. Credit to Chuck, though. The Buffalo pick for Matt Milano panned out this week. That was a solid pick.
For sure.
Yeah.
Agreed.
All right, our final matchup, the projected game of the week. I can't give it that title for how it turned out, but it was projected to be a good game. Swifties, Satan's Army, took on Lance Manlove. We all called Swifties to win, and they did. 200.48 to 147.38 with a 53.1 point margin of victory for Swifties. And that was the largest margin of victory, so that's our whoop-ass victory of the week. MVP, who else could it be but Tyreek Hill and his 1 million points on the week. Also in the stud category, Aaron Jones before he had to hobble off with that hamstring. And Swifties, number one offense on the week, 142.68 points total for their offense alone.
Hold on, say that again.
142.68 okay, points.
Freeze. He only needed to play a kicker. He didn't have to play his defense at all.
Yeah. Swifties could have beaten the 25 percenters and Jim Kelly Hates Cancer without start or and Awful Waffles without starting a defense this week. So yeah, so there you go. There's your studs, duds,
and that's with a Smirnoff chugging Goddard in the lineup too.
Yeah, that's what we'll call a juggernaut. On the dud side, Lamar Jackson. You know, we already talked about him. Jamar Chase, not so good, impacted by Joe Burrow and Amari Cooper in the same game. Thoughts on this game?
I thought it was going to be closer.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting much closer, yeah.
I was expecting to be closer, too. And actually, after like Sunday morning, it was pretty close. And then Sunday afternoon happened, and it wasn't close anymore. thank you, Aaron Jones and Tyreek Hill, for carrying Swifties to the title, or to at least this week one title. Win over Lance. And, you know, I know that Ben and Jason are heated rivals, friendly rivals, but heated nonetheless. So I'm sure, I don't even know. I'm hoping that they had some trash talk between the two of them. I have no idea, but
I hope so too. Ben, Jason, I want to hear some of that trash talk. So call in. yes. So that's week one. Let's hand out some hardware with our players of the week.
I think Jason currently is a leader in the clubhouse for the next Pierce punishment.
Actually, current leader would be Jizza for the next Pierce punishment after 1 week.
Followed by Chuck.
Yes, followed by Chuck. But it's 1 week, so let's throw that in week one overreactions.
Oh, no, that was more wishful thinking on my part.
All right, so week one hardware for the guys who did well. Telnet, offensive player of the week, Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback for Miami. 39.82 points, 28 completions, 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, 5 rush yards, 1 fumble. For Sparsity, the offensive player of the week, Tyreek Hill, Miami wide receiver. 39 points, 11 receptions, 215 yards, and 2 tutties. For the defensive player of the week for Telnet, TJ Watt, linebacker for Pittsburgh, 37 points, 5 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 1 pass defense, and a partridge in a pear tree. For Sparcy, I was watching the game and we finally got to halftime. I'm like, come on, TJ. All right, so Sparcy's defensive player of the week, DeForest Buckner, defensive lineman, Indianapolis, 27.8 points, 4 tackles, 3 assists, 1 sack, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, and a touchdown. So there's your week one hardware for men among men.
The Brown Note, Neil McGuire!
We also have poopers, because that tends to be a very favorite segment for everyone. And Danny and I were just talking a little bit ahead of time before we start recording. And I actually put a little bit of time in for a lot of these guys for giving them some nicknames. And so, Danny, you just want me to run through these?
Yeah. I mean, give me your best and I'll throw some in.
All right. I don't have one for Christian Kirk.
Oh, that's Captain Smirk.
Okay. Tyler, not so hot locket.
Hot pocket rocket.
We got P.P. Higgins. Who had a goose?
Oh, you better hit that goose.
Got a goose. Brandon forgot how to cooks.
Yeah.
DeAndre not so swift.
Oh man, yeah. DeAndre Swifties Army.
Yeah. Joey Slosa. Yeah, that's not so good. I don't have one for Haason Reddick.
Me neither.
Yeah. I don't have one for Nick Bosa, but he did help.
Oh, the Bosa brothers.
The Bosa brothers both were poopers. Yeah. Nick held out too long, though.
Runs in the family.
Runs. I don't have one for Jack Campbell.
No, he sounds like a FBI agent.
He does. He's got the wrong name. George, the old standby, George Schittle. Yeah. We already talked about Drake, Icy London, Icy France. He has pooped his pants. Had a goose.
You better hit that goose, baby.
Joe Burr. Oh, no! The old standby, Lamar Quaxon. Dion was so bad, he doesn't deserve a pun, Jackson. Drew, I need a tranquilizer.
There you go.
Jordan can't get no chicks. You got a good one for Najee Harris?
Jalen Warren. he was my breakout player of the year. And he let me down.
Antonio Squishson Gibson. We got I don't have a good one for Za'Darius Smith either.
Well, you got Dallas Goedert. You basically have to just say 25%ers.
Well, yeah. See, I got my favorite one, though, was Phallus Goosterd for Dallas Goedert.
Oh, I get it. You weirdo.
Yeah. So there are your poopers of the week. Remember, I don't consider injured players poopers. And they poop when they fail miserably to meet their projected expectations, and they had to have started for their NFFL squad. So let's look ahead at week 2. We're going to start off with my projected game of the week. Number 3, Bear Bunda's Nightmare at 1-0, taking on number 1, E-Town Asian.
Nobody's leaving here undefeated, I'll tell you that.
That's right. As of this morning, Wednesday morning, Bear Bunda is projected to win by less than a point. So we got the number one scoring team versus number three scoring team. For Bear Bunda, I like the running backs all over. I like the running backs over E-Town. Algier look to continue to get more to work as Atlanta works Bijan in, and Robinson and Williams will most likely meet their floors. Don't have to worry about them. Watch Pickens. Going to need him to step up. All the wide receivers step up in Deontay's absence, but hopefully he can
and
keep his...
Firemuth, for that matter.
If he takes the field this week. Hopefully,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Pickens will have to step up.
Hopefully Pickens will be able to keep his feet in bounds on some of those downfield throws this week. For E-Town, wide receiver, I'd give them the advantage in that category. Jefferson, Olave, high upside. Waddle hits even when he's limited. Excuse me. Moore should do better against Tampa Bay this week. He's pretty familiar with them from when he played with Carolina. Keep an eye on Waller. Arizona should be an easier play than against Dallas. It shouldn't get out of hand as easily as it did. Waller was New York's big acquisition in the offseason. So what do you guys think about Bear Bunda taking on E-Town?
I'm thinking that his wide receivers got this matchup locked up.
I can't vote against E-Town right now. I think his team is that those wide receivers, like Danny said, they're going to carry that team. I'm picking E-Town as well.
Yeah, that's my pick. I'm picking them to win. I've actually picked them to win by about a field goal.
Nice.
Yeah. And like I said, that was our game of the week. Next game, I'm expecting to be the toilet bowl game of the week. Number 4, Gridiron Mafia at 1-0, taking on number 12, the 25 percenters at 0-1.
Also again, known as the Battle of Philly.
Yes. We got, you call it David versus Goliath, number 4 versus number 12. Whatever you got, it's a beat down from whatever projection you look at. Could be a little
Gino Cheesesteaks versus the other guy.
Could be a little more competitive with the trade coming in since I initially did my write-up, but... even looking at a brief peek here, we're still looking at over a 30-point differential. For Gridiron Mafia, ride the running backs. Stevenson, Madison, Sanders, maybe throw Javonte in there as he acclimates back to life on the field. Watch Mahomes. Is Kelsey healthy enough to play this week, or does Patrick try to play catch passes for myself?
Is Taylor helping out in this area, or are we just assuming that they're just frenzies right now?
Yeah, what's Tay-Tay doing to help Kelsey recuperate?
Oh, she is definitely helping him. If you know what.
Because it was not Kadarius Phoney last week.
No. She is getting swift on him.
Oh, dad jokes abound tonight. For the 25 percenters, kudos. Taking good steps to strengthen up the roster with that trade. Williams and Montgomery should help shore up some of the weak areas there. My player to watch is Swift. Maybe the short week helps him get on the field Thursday night and should do even if it's only half a dozen snaps, it's better than what his production was on Sunday. So if you start him, there you go. What do you guys think?
it's going to be 2-0 versus 0-2 at the very end of this. Joe wins the Battle of Philly.
I think it's going to be closer than you guys are giving credit for. I think Jizza, I don't know. I think Kansas City can lose to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And
I'm calling shootout in that one, though.
We'll see. I don't know. But if that happens, if Jacksonville can shut down Mahomes, and if Swift can have a big game, I mean, we might – I don't know. I'm not sure if I want to pick Jizza, but I think it's going to be much closer than the stat line right now is showing. So
I'm picking
a close one. I'm saying it's going to be less than 10 points.
Would you call it your almost upset?
Yeah, almost upset.
Since it is the Battle of Philly, there should be an extra little spice going on there.
Can we?
They should have some kind of a little side bet, a little something, something.
There should
loser
be
loser has to buy the other one a cheesesteak, something like that.
Yeah, there should be a cheesesteak. We should be scheduling this game in December so they can throw batteries at Santa.
Was it the two of these guys? Weren't they in the same softball game? Jizza's going to have to remind me. Refresh my memory, Jizza. Weren't you guys in the same softball game when Joe, like, flipped out on the ref? Was that a thing?
I want to say you're right on that one. But, yeah, Jizza, let us know. When you listen to this, let us know on Ring.
Either way, I'm picking Joe, but I'm picking Joe in a nail biter, close game.
Yeah, I'm picking Joe. As much as I think that Jacksonville can dispatch Kansas City, this is still my toilet bowl game of the week. Matchup number three. Number 11, Jim Kelly Hates Cancer at 0-1, taking on number 8, Sweatman's Runners at 0-1 as well. Both of these teams looking for a bounce back. Jim Kelly Hates Cancer, I like their wide receiver this week. A.J. Brown, Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley, all of them have some nice field in front of them. I like what they all have the possibility to do. Keep an eye on JSN for me. He was utilized last week, did not contribute a lot, but that, especially that second half, it was Seattle just fell apart. But if they keep him out there, they keep utilizing him, eventually catch on, could be as early as this week. For Sweatman's Runners, if Ankler is healthy, running back does look really tasty this week. Although Dalvin at Dallas could be shaky. If they leak him out of the backfield and throw him some wheel routes, that could be his best bet. Player to watch, Hunter Henry, had a great week last week against Philly, but New England was playing from behind. Does this happen against Miami? So what are you guys' thoughts on this matchup?
Anybody playing Miami is getting into a track meet.
Well, there's the question, though, because Bill Belichick is notorious for taking away your number one target, your number one weapon, and it's not alien to him to play against Tyreek. I didn't get to look back at his history against playing against Tyreek, but
You know, this matchup is pretty close. Both teams this week lost because their defense didn't measure up to what they were expecting. Chuck still needs to get a kicker. He still needs to fill that slot. He will. Don't worry about that. But I think this one's going to be very close. I think the defending champs are going to squeak this one out. I'm picking Sweatman.
Mm-hmm.
Only because Hill's still in Chuck's lineup.
I'm looking. Does he have another tight end on his roster? He doesn't have another tight end on his roster. He's rolling with Hill. All right.
That's a hill he's waiting to die on.
He's doing it.
What do you think, Danny?
Yeah, I got Chuck winning either way, even still.
I'm leaning Sweaty's way. They're going to get their first win on the season. Probably be pretty close one, but I'm leaning Sweaty's way.
Now, we need some proof here, but is there ever a time where Chuck started 0-2? Yeah.
You mean aside from the protest year?
Yeah, aside from when he only kept Marvin Harrison.
Chuck has a Pierce in his arsenal outside of the flood year. So, or not the flood year, the year two. Yeah, he started 0-2 before. This wouldn't be a first. It's not frequent, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll happen again this season because Swetman's winning this matchup.
we should throw that into the overreactions column.
I'll start a betting pool.
Who do you think, for real though, whoever ends up 0-2, who do you think has a better chance of overcoming the 0-2 over the long haul?
You mean between these two teams?
Between these two guys, yeah.
I think looking at their rosters, we should see the bench players. I think Chuck does because of the depth that he has with a lot of the handcuffs. I think if Etienne and Eckler go down, I worry about Swetman's running backs. He doesn't have a lot of depth behind them. So I think long-term Chuck has a better team this week. Swetman has a team to beat.
Yeah, I don't think you Great could
Braids can
argue
happen.
Me that out of it.
Call Swifties. We'll help you out.
We've got what you need. All right. Next up, we're going to see number 5, Roster Guard 99 at 1-0, take on number 7, San Diego 8 at 0-1. We got the number 2 offense coming back for a second try for their first win. Roster Guard 99, if healthy, and if Roster Guard 99 plays him, I like Mark Andrews' chances. I also like the possibility of Raheem Mostert and Zay Jones getting slotted into the lineup. When I looked this morning, they were not there. Player to watch, Garrett Wilson. How big of a drop-off does he have without Aaron Rodgers under center? For San Diego 8, Ayuk and Chubb look strong, and Allen should eat against that soft Tennessee pass defense. For their player to watch, I'm keeping my eye on Roshan Johnson. I want to see if playing from behind and or in garbage time was the reason he got so much time on the field last week for Chicago. What do you guys think on Roster Guard and San Diego 8?
I'm very intrigued with this matchup. I mean, we have a lot of guys that had down week ones that need to bounce back. We have San Diego 8's high potent offense, but they're rolling out Johnson this week, which is awesome. I love it. Let's see if he can keep going. And it looks like, you know, if Rob's defense can bounce back, I think Rob should win this game, but I'm going to pick Rob. It's going to be a close matchup. Unless TJ Watt scores another 74 points, then Joe might steal it. Or John might steal it. Don, yeah. I'm picking Rob.
What you got, Danny?
I'm still a fan of Roster Guard in this matchup. I think I don't think Ayuk's gonna go back to back weeks that big. I think Chubb will do okay. Yeah, I think Garrett Wilson, he'll probably have like a 5 for 75 kind of a line.
Don't overreact. Wilson,
five for 75 is pretty nice spread.
It is a nice spread, but he's going to get 12 targets.
But yeah, I'm going with Roster Guard on this one.
All right. Well, our penultimate matchup is going to be Lance Manlove, number 10, at 0-1, taking on number 9, Night Shift, at 0-1. A week 1 weak team versus a week 1 underperforming team. Lance Manlove, offense is full of players that need to bounce back from disappointing week 1 performances. We've got Jamar Chase, who's playing with a rusty Joe Burrow. Amari Cooper played in rain week 1. Now he's playing away, and historically he has low away games. He likes to split them home and away. Davis is boom or bust. Jacobs has some rust. Josh Jacobs has some rust that he's trying to shake off, but he has a lot of upside. Pitts was I'm trying to remember which Pitts I'm even talking about here. Kyle Pitts, he's got to actually get passes thrown his way to make an impact. For Lance Manlove, I'm keeping my eyes on Chase and see if Joe Burrow, if one game is enough of a game time to knock off Russ to make a difference for him. For Night Shift, I like James Conner and Cole Kmet both to bounce back. Bleh, it's late here. Cole Kmet only missed out on a touchdown last week by being tackled by three guys at like the 3 yard line. And Justin went back to him two more times right after that. And the Cardinals have very little offense outside of James Conner, and they get the New York Giants this week, who honestly, I don't have a whole lot of faith in right now. I'm watching all the guys because it's my team, but I'm really curious about Puka Nacua. What do you guys think?
I think that's going to be fun to watch unfold.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a good matchup. I like Lance's defense. I think that Parsons Wagner combo is deadly. Parsons had so many opportunities. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have that many opportunities because the Giants weren't up the field.
They didn't need to be.
They didn't need to be. So, yeah. I mean, but when the Giants were on the field, he dominated them. They just didn't get enough first downs for him to rack up some numbers. I think the Jets will put up better numbers than the Giants. I think Parsons will eat. I think, I think you're losing this matchup.
Danny, what do you think? What's your projection there?
It's just somebody. It's the race to 0-2, really. So, just going to let that be.
Not even making a pick.
No, that one. I mean, I'll take Night Shift over Manlove, but I don't know. That one has potential to be a 12 bowl game.
It does. It does. That was I was close on picking that one for a 12 bowl game. Picking
Burrow will finally score more than 3 points, that's for sure. But
yeah, it's true. I am picking Night Shift for this one. I think Yahoo might be a little bit off. And our final game of the week is our game of the week. Number 6, Awful Waffles at 1-0, taking on number 2, Swifties, Satan's Army, at 1-0 as well. Make up your own storyline for this one. I didn't even bother to write one, apparently. Awful Waffles, McCaffrey and Barkley are the two studs that I trust the most in this lineup. Higgins went 0-for-8 with Rusty Burrow. Yeah, he had 8 targets and only 2 of them were catchable, I said earlier. Cooks was the third look last week. Brandon Cooks was the third look from Dak last week. And Geno just looked flat. Player to watch, Kelsey. Is he healthy? Is he not? If he's on the field, is he healthy enough to really play like Kelsey? Swifties. You both start with S's and I'm tired. Wide receiver could just be too much. Tyreek, Watson if he's healthy. Nuke is in an expected game where you're going to have to come from behind. New acquisition Pollard will be a lot of fun to watch play. Player to watch, Isaiah Pacheco. What's the usage going to be like against Jacksonville? Is it going to net enough points? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. This one's going to be hard because with McCaffrey and Barkley, it's like, if they have decent games, it's going to be pretty tight. I would have to give the edge, however, to Matthias in this one.
I know that both Ben and Ty, like, they got bad blood between them. but, you know, looking at this lineup, I think, you know, if Kelsey's healthy, he's going to be the problem. It's him. He's going to be the problem in this matchup for Ben. And
it's me. I'm the problem. It's me.
It's going to be a cruel, cruel matchup for
cruel heart
for Ben. If Kelsey's in this, if he's in this game, I think if he's not in this game, I'm picking Ben. If Kelsey's in the matchup, I'm picking Ty.
That's exactly the way I'm swinging there, Bizzle. If Kelsey's healthy and in, it's Ty for me. If Kelsey is not cleared, it's Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So right now, until Kelsey is cleared, my pick is Ben. But if he's cleared on Sunday, it swings over to Ty.
There you go.
Yep.
Ty wears high heels. Satan wears t-shirts. Jim Kelly hates cancer and jizzes in the bleachers. eating the food from Steve Vandy. I don't got any more.
You got to work on that for next week, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was like a Taylor Swiftie kind of like, you know.
All right. So before closing out, I got a keep trade cut for you. It's all Pennsylvania football this week. Pitt, Duquesne, and Penn State.
What's the question?
Keep trade cut. Now, this goes against everything that's in my bones. But I'm going to keep Penn State. I'm going to trade Pitt, and I'm going to cut Duquesne.
What about you, Bizzle? Keep trade cut.
That's the no-brainer. But I'm going to go with the sleeper pick. I'm not going to do what everyone else would do in that. I'm going to keep Pitt. No, screw that. I'm going to keep Robert Morris. I am going to trade.
He's going off the reservation altogether.
I'm going to trade Penn State, and I'm cutting Pitt. Bobby Moe, back-to-back-to-back NCAA Division I non-scholarship national championships when I was there.
Yeah. Is this the same Robert Morris that couldn't even bring their own uniforms to their football game a couple weeks ago?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
You didn't see that story I sent on Ring?
No.
Yeah, they showed up.
I think Bobby Moe had to like wear practice uniforms.
They showed up to their game, and their equipment managers somehow managed to not bring like 30 some of their uniform jerseys.
Oh wow! How the mighty have fallen from national champions to playing in like scrub uniforms. Bobby Moe, I'm sorry. You're on the cut list.
Yeah, if you scroll back in the ring, there's a link to it. It's like a week and a half back or so. Yeah, it's like the second week of college season.
I'm sorry. That ruined it. You're out, Bobby.
All right, so that is it for this episode, gentlemen. Last week I went 3-3. So far, 3-3 on the season. You can buy your NFFL swag on Redbubble at bit.ly/NellisNFFL. I had another person, I have no clue who, buy one of the license plate style logos from Ben's team when he was Colonel Slade. That's still up there. People still like that one.
What?
Yeah. Hey. Just today, someone bought a sticker of it.
That's a good sticker. If you're a fan of Al Pacino, that's a good sticker to have.
And Bizzle, just last week, someone bought a shirt with the Mega Powers logo on it.
Well, hey, that's right. That's both of us.
Hey, you know, last week when we were talking about Phyllis's head, we talked about me being on there, but I'm on there twice.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you are.
I was telling Ben didn't know that me and him were on there on the same plate. He was like, you put Danny on as your ass? I'm like, absolutely, I did. We built that team and we won it together. I didn't win it without him.
There you go.
Oh, that was Mega Powers from the start.
That was.
And so don't forget to set your lineups for Thursday, because Thursday Night Football this week is Philadelphia and Minnesota. That shall be a barnstormer.
And there's two Monday night games, right?
There are. It's the normal one.
Why'd they delay that a whole week? They usually do that week one.
I think it was probably because it was September 11th this year.
You know what I heard? For next week. Now, tune in, kids. Well, listen to this. 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, when the London game happens. That game will also be televised, I want to say, on ESPN in a Toy Story format. Did you see this?
I heard something about that. I didn't quite follow it. Yeah.
So they're going to be like, it's pretty much going to be, they're going to AI take every play and live push it onto like Toy Story character players. And so you'll be watching the game like you're watching it for real, but you're watching an animated version of the exact same plays and game.
In a toy box.
In Andy's room,
mm-hmm.
with Andy's toys as the fans in the stands.
Yep.
But you're watching the game. Like, you're actually watching like what's really happening, but you're not seeing Calvin Ridley make the catch. You're seeing an animated Calvin Ridley make the catch. The exact same play.
Mm-hmm.
And if it works, they're going to keep doing it. Are you? This is craziness.
It's ridiculous.
it's like Nickelodeon, but on steroids. I'm curious to see how it turns out.
I'll watch it just to see.
Yeah, we'll see. It might be a bust. It might be fun. Who knows?
Yep.
It's 9:30 game. No one really cares.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, thank you for joining me. And to everyone listening, we'll see you on the gridiron. NFFL Podcast is a production of Head First Studios. Head First Studios, tell your story.